everyone, welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby. The Great American Bash is a podcast about the intersections of presidential politics and professional wrestling. Co-host and co-author Chris Kelly and I are experts in the field, considering that we're the authors of the book, The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling. You could find that and pieces that we've written for places like The Washington Post and Slate, Vice, U.S. News and World Reports, and more at presidentwrestler.com. To listen to the newest episode of The Great American Bash, follow us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/gabpod, G-A-B-P-O-D. This episode features a chat with legendary WWE announcer Jim Ross and was recorded August 2nd, 2017. Here's episode 53 of The Great American Bash.
Do you smell what Barack has cooked?
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
You're sitting in Washington, D.C., home of the Trump International Hotel. It is August 2nd at 8:10 a.m. Day what?
Day 194 of Donald Trump, the Donald's U.S. title reign.
It's still the Universal Championship. I realize that the A-Show is now SmackDown Live, but come
on. I just think the decline of America. I don't think it's the Universal title anymore.
I disagree completely. He is still my champion in the WWE Universe.
He's all of our champions, everybody.
The whole premise of this show is the intersection of presidential politics and pro wrestling.
We wrote a book about that called The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling. It's available on Amazon in Kindle and audiobook formats. More info, go to DonaldTrumpIsAWrestler.com or PresidentWrestler.com.
Which we bought in the summer because we know how the territories are booked.
Yeah.
Speaking of knowing how the territories are booked, this episode features an interview with Jim Ross, good old JR, which is a real thing.
That's
it's not
a good get.
It's a good get, yes. I'm very excited about it. Time to plug Jim Ross stuff because he needs plugs. August 10th, he'll be at the DC Improv, which is next week in our nation's capital, home of the Trump International Hotel. He'll be performing about a mile and a half from there and about a mile and 1.3 miles away from the White House. So that's not as important as the Trump International Hotel, which is on Pennsylvania Avenue.
Yeah.
Two nights later, he'll be at the ECW Arena in Philadelphia as the Icons of Wrestling. I've been to the ECW Arena for the RNC counter-programming at the DNC.
You can read about that in our book.
And on August 18th, he'll be at the Gotham Comedy Club before SummerSlam.
Very nice.
Are you going to SummerSlam
weekend? No, I am not. I will be watching 9 hours of wrestling on Sunday in our apartment.
For more information on tickets, go to dcimprov.com. Thanks to the DC Improv for hooking that up. They are good people. Go to JR's Bar, BARBQ.com. You guys know who Jim Ross is, or else you would not be listening to this show.
And you would also know who Jim Ross is because his voice has been added to everything that's happened ever on the internet from when he was calling many matches, usually The Undertaker versus Mankind, Hell in a Cell, but often just calling John Cena matches, as happened this week. And our big show.
Well, it's a big show.
When healthcare died. The healthcare bill was introduced to The Undertaker by John McCain. We talked about this last week. Were you surprised? I think your hypothesis was that this would be going on for a little while, and it is dead.
It's dead, kind of.
Okay.
It's dead to most people in Congress. It's seemingly dead to Mitch McConnell. It is not dead to the president of the United States of America, which is something. It's important to remember.
I mean, he says a lot of things. But basically, the skinny repeal is part of the Voterama. Three Republicans defected. Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Susan Collins of Maine, and John McCain. That's where the clip that's been circulating around with JR calling John McCain's vote.
We'll play it right now.
What? They're making the rules up as they go, man!
So that's a JR clip, but it's actually culled from like four different things.
Yeah, because it's using the calling John Cena matches and some Stone Cold stuff and some Undertaker stuff.
So. Yeah, JR's had quite a busy run of calling things from 15, 16, 17 years ago and it being reappropriated in the last 18 months.
By God, it's being reappropriated. So yes, healthcare is dead to everyone but the president, everyone but the U.S. or Universal Champion.
This is where we're always going to disagree. I do think that matters. I do think that the office has a lot to do with the exchanges, and the executive branch can do everything in its power legally to shut it down.
Yes, and that's what he's been threatening to do. It's actually some in the Senate, even Republicans, are pushing back on that as well. Lamar Alexander, in his committee, they're looking ways to shore up, kind of admitting that this is a defeat, and now you got to work with the law you got, and they're working on some of the payments. And see what they can do on that side. This whole thing is starting to look like, at least in this one, you know, in a couple little areas, specifically the Senate GOP, is the closest thing I've seen to what we've talked about, the X-Pac heat, the bad heat that Trump's getting. This is the first time between sessions, I mean, as the drip, drip, drip as this happens, but I think it really turned on when he was turning on Sessions, who is, they all go way back, and like Senate,
Senators when Chris says that, he means the Senate.
The Senate.
He's senators been there a long time.
Senators, and he's one of theirs. And so Trump going after him was the first thing. The kind of arm twisting they tried to do and failed, like they did with Murkowski, where someone, the Secretary of the Interior, tried to threaten her, and she went, "Oh, I'm in charge of your department and my committee, so you guys are screwed indefinitely."
Mm-hmm.
And now you're seeing a lot of this. The transgender ban, which we talked about last week, which had gotten a lot of pushback from Orrin Hatch, John McCain, a lot of like pretty conservative senators.
This is a great time to point out that the transgender ban really isn't a transgender ban, but it's about something else.
We are going to build a great border wall, you know, to stop illegal immigration.
It's about the wall. It's about, we did talk about this last week, as far as the transgender ban was only came up because of funding for the wall, which is something that's going to keep coming up, because as even as the administration pushes for tax reform, looks like that's not going to happen, because they're still, they have to get a budget and they have to worry about the debt ceiling. The budget, the fight over the budget, as Dems say, they won't do any budget that pays for the wall.
I understand that, but this week Paul Ryan, somebody that said we don't need a wall, is currently tweeting out support. Hey, don't we need a wall? Retweet if you think we need a wall. That's this week. Paul Ryan has a big say in the budget.
Yes. Yeah, because that budget bill will start in the House. But no,
so
yeah.
It's not like every Republican is against the Donald.
No, I'm saying Senate GOP.
Just the Senate.
Yeah, because that's where we've seen the most pushback, where these guys, because they're one of 100. You know, they're a lot, you know, more important individually, so they can act as individuals. Like McCain did. McCain got he comes back with cancer, gets to look like a hero, votes no dramatically with doing the gladiator thumbs down, and
which his junior senator of the great state of Arizona released a book this week,
Conscience of a Conservative, a nod to the Barry Goldwater's kind of seminal conservative book, and talking about how we've the emperor has no clothes, and we're complicit in this. I mean, he has voted with Trump's agenda 95% of the time, but he has an election in 2018.
So this is kind of important, because this is brought up a lot. Republicans will run against him. He will now be primaried. It won't be that easy for him to retain the Intercontinental Championship of Arizona.
Yeah, it's a specific, yeah.
I do think that's a fair comparison. If the Universal Championship is the presidency, sure. I think the IC title is being a senator from Arizona.
Ugh, is the IC title really that bad these days? So this is as all this stuff is, it's stuff to watch. There's not a lot of big gotcha moments, big smoking guns, but this is kind of, it looks like something brewing. This could change next week. The Republicans and the Senate could all get on the same page about tax reform and move on, but it's starting to not look that way.
Is it fair to say the last week being Monday through Friday, mm-hmm. even if you want to go Sunday through Saturday, that's fine, the most hectic week in terms of news, but not necessarily in terms of consequence?
Yes. Would that be because of our good friend Anthony the Mooch Scaramucci? When we had podcasted, he had just
last week last at this Thursday, time he was currently on New Day a show on CNN dedicated to the new day.
Yes. So we were just talking last week. It was Thursday. We were talking about this is a great era. He's a great promo. He's comparing the president to Mr. Perfect. He's basically Paul Heyman to CM Punk out here. The future looked bright.
It was the same week they canceled Talking Smack. I was like, okay, this is a replacement programming. Yeah. I was so
talking
happy.
Mooch. And it was going to last forever. And then Friday happened, and an article in the, and I mean, this is old news at this point. It's been five, six whole days,
God.
But in a interview in the New Yorker, Scaramucci unloaded to Ryan Lizza and said, he said, I'm not Steve Bannon trying to suck my own cock. That was a thing that was on the record. He also said he called Rince Priebus a paranoid schizophrenic. He just took out all these guys. And it was funny, the coverage. I just want to point, because I feel like the way it was covered is going to keep happening. There was something in the Post, I think by Margaret Sullivan, kind of looking at it going, well, this is a huge flub. He should have known how off the record works, on the record works. He does.
Yeah, he knows.
He knows. And if the goal of that was to do what ended up happening the next day or the next days when Rince Priebus was... Did he resign?
He resigned. Technically, he resigned.
Yes, but he was obviously forced. I mean, he was forced out. Scaramucci did a hit job on him, and he's out. So in that sense, he knew how on the record worked. He knew if he put this stuff in the press, it would look like it would embarrass Trump and force his enemy, Rince Priebus, to resign. So that worked.
So I got to be on WGN Radio to talk about the show last week after the article and after our show. So this had already come out.
Yeah.
And I brought up a point that I have yet to hear many people bring up. Has anyone else ever come out that's part of the administration against the Nazi?
Oh, the Nazi Steve Bannon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is literally anyone else associated with the administration or in the administration said, hey, not a fan of Nazis?
Not a fan of the Nazis.
Has that been brought up once?
I don't think it has.
You know who brought it up?
The Mooch. Yeah. And that's why the Mooch, we were riding high on the Mooch. He came in, he took out his enemy. He knows how on and off the record works. Unfortunately, kind of like how Trump, when he fired Comey, he got Mueller. This is how this worked. He gets rid of Priebus. He brings in or moves over Homeland Security head John Kelly to be chief of staff. And John Kelly, a former general, clears house and gets rid of the guy who told the Nazi to stop trying to suck his own cock. Or to start. I can't remember. I don't know. It was a confusing week.
It was more of an observation.
It was an observation.
I am not trying to suck my own cock.
Yeah.
Unlike this Nazi. No judgment.
Is that what a swastika is? So the Mooch is out. 10 days. He resigned from a job that he didn't officially have yet.
He was the best.
Yeah, we're going to miss him.
He is likely to fund a promotion, though, so I don't want to get on his bad side.
Yeah, no, I mean... He's going to need some commentators. He's going to need some managers, a heel manager like yourself.
He is so good. I mean this sincerely.
Yeah, no.
If you're a Democrat, you should wish you had the Mooch.
Yeah, I was actually not excited for the Trump administration on this bipartisan, nonpartisan podcast. But, I mean, I was excited to watch Scaramucci do his thing on TV and note the fact that Democrats didn't have one. I mean, we could have one. You just have to give him money, and you can have your own.
Yeah, buy Scaramucci.
Yeah, you can have
Cory Booker, you clearly want to be president. This guy could get your message out.
Yeah. Oh, and Cory Booker this week, I think he introduced a bill to legalize marijuana.
Which,
he wants to investigate 311.
If you're a professional wrestler, you definitely want this, because that's the kind of drug that won't kill you.
Yeah.
And it's not that bad for you.
Yeah.
And there shouldn't be mandatory minimum sentences that destroy complete states and communities.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we can all agree on that.
If you're listening to this, you might actually not read the Washington Post, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're going to read one thing this week to summarize last week, did you see this oral history that they did?
No.
It could not have been better.
Yeah.
It's the moment when it really started to feel insane, an oral history of the Scaramucci era.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that you usually read 5, 10, 20 years after the fact. But they're
minutes.
We're going to do it last week. It is perfect. Ben Terrace, friend of the show, did it with some other people. Kat Timpf, future guest of the show, is in it. Read this article. It's wonderful.
Okay. Plug for the Washington Post. We got to make sure our local, you got to buy local. So Mooch is out. And that could be foreshadowing what's happening in the world of wrestling, as Paul Heyman might be taking a little break as well after SummerSlam.
If we lose Heyman and Scaramucci within 30 days, I think I'm done with politics and wrestling. There's just no more fun.
Yeah,
what's
I'm going to have to host this show by myself. It's going to be a real dark days. Paul Heyman in a promo on Monday Night Raw with his client, the Beast Incarnate, Brock Lesnar, says that if Brock Lesnar loses at SummerSlam in a fatal four-way, he will leave the WWE. And this is the WWE, the reality era, turning a real storyline into a, turning a work into a shoot. And there's increased rumors that Brock is headed back to UFC, as we've been talking about the last few weeks. On Saturday at UFC 214, John Jones, the Shawn Michaels of the UFC, beat his longtime rival Daniel Cormier, and called out Brock Lesnar.
John Jones with
Brock Lesnar. If you want to know what it feels like to get your ass kicked by a guy who weighs 40 pounds less than you, meet me in the octagon.
And Brock Lesnar's reply was, be careful what you wish for, young man, or something to that effect. And, you know, nothing they have. There's issues with Brock being in the USADA pool. There's the weight difference between the two. But in a year where we're having McGregor,
Mayweather
in a boxing match, it's really it's not that hard to see how this fight happens at some point.
Jim Ross and I talked a lot more about this, but what we didn't talk about was Heyman, because when Ross and I recorded, it was the middle of the day on Monday. We didn't know that they were going to bring it into the fold. Heyman is not part of the Brock Lesnar reality. He's just WWE part
of it.
Plays
it on TV.
That being said, is there any chance that Heyman could be part of the UFC promotion?
I mean, it's tough. They got some good promos over there. Do they need Heyman need a client?
They could get really dark, but also rein him in. Based on the McGregor Mayweather tour, those guys need somebody to rein him in and being like, hey, slow down with the racism, xenophobia, homophobia, every phobia possible. Maybe calm it down.
Don't forget misogyny.
Sorry, I apologize.
Thank you.
Maybe Heyman could both make this match even better and less racist, homosexist, Jesus Christ, racist, bigoted, etc.
Yeah. I don't see that happening, but it's a good...
Yeah, no, it's not going to happen. I just want that to happen.
He's an independent contractor with the WWE, and that'll probably continue happening. He'll just take a break until Lesnar... if Lesnar comes back, and if not, we'll find the next Paul Heyman guy.
I think we could agree that this fight's going to happen.
Yes.
Lesnar clearly wants to fight.
Yeah, I mean, anyone calls him out, and it's a payday. It's not even about his, like, pride. It's because they know it'll be a money fight.
I mean, he's not that old. What else is he going to do? It seems like his medical condition's been taken care of. Diverticulitis.
I mean, if John Jones, like, elbows him in the stomach, Brock could die. But
which
you
is
know,
not a hard thing to do.
Right. I mean, it could happen. It's a mismatch in styles and stuff, but it's a good... The styles clash, you might even say. But it'd be a super fight. I mean, it's a... You know, he'd go up to heavyweight, or at least...
So this is going to suck. We're going to lose Heyman, but we're going to get to see Brock fight. Hopefully not.
The best... Probably one of the best, you know, mixed martial artists of all time. And a real psychopath in John Jones, who's also a really good promo, who loves doing the suck it gesture.
Yeah.
And who gets it. And you can read more about that on Vice Sports, while Vice Sports still exists.
Did you forget what you
John
wrote?
Jones? No, I forgot what the title of it was, so you can Google it. John Jones, Daniel Cormier, the UFC's own WWE feud.
If you're interested in anything that Chris or I write, we share all of this stuff on our Facebook group page, which is facebook.com/.
Is Backlash.
Backlash.
Yeah, it's called Backlash.
Just type in Great American Bash, you'll find us.
Yes. So we could be seeing that.
Quick aside.
Yeah.
Heyman stays, Lesnar leaves. Who's the guy that you give to Paul Heyman?
Okay, so it needs to be a heel.
Why?
That needs... Because Heyman, they don't do face managers, really.
They can. Nothing prevents anything from happening.
No, I understand that. I mean, the guy who most needs a mouthpiece that they want to push is probably like Jason Jordan, if you saw anything he's been doing with a microphone.
Sure.
I'd have to think about that one. Let me think about that.
Let me throw this out. Dean Ambrose.
I like it because it is like a punk thing where Ambrose is a really good promo.
Exactly.
But it gives him some focus.
There you go.
Yeah. So, well, we'll see what happens with that on the road to SummerSlam, on the road to WrestleMania. Speaking of that, so SummerSlam card is coming into shape. The approximately 19 matches that now look like they'll be happening at SummerSlam. We got a couple more of them last night.
I'm
on
legit
SmackDown.
Excited about some of these.
Yeah. Which ones are you excited about?
Clearly Nakamura is the one.
Yes.
Last night's match on SmackDown Live.
So Shinsuke Nakamura and John Cena, a dream match, which they called it about 18 times. Yeah. But
And you know how I know it was a dream match? Because they went to commercial three times during the match, so it was real hard to follow.
Yeah.
It looked like John Cena was almost paralyzed at one point.
Well, as Kevin Owens pointed out, John Cena is a Transformer. He's about to start a Transformer movie.
American hero, John Cena.
In the final sequence of this match, they did a inverse exploder, and Cena, like, tucked his head. I think it looked like he was trying to suck his own cock. His head was bent pretty far down. And Nakamura apologized, you could see in the ring after the match, and Cena was doing the squeeze your hands to show that you have a feeling in them move.
Yeah.
Because he definitely got dropped directly on his head and neck. But he's fine, because his neck is like as big as my torso, so he's fine.
So kids, work out.
Work out, yeah. Do, get, you know, hormone replacements if you're over 40.
It's so crazy. Anyways, I'd say it was his top five match, but that's not that hard, because he's been under...
I think it was way too short. I mean, it was like to be a that's how mad. It was a good.
By the way, that's like the most nerdy asshole podcast
it
thing
is,
I could say.
But it's also like a house show match that happened to be on TV.
Sure.
I mean, they were doing like Nakamura's out there doing, I can see you. I have finger glasses,
fun.
Which
it's
is
so
fun. But that's like a house show match. It clearly it had no stakes. The stakes were to go to beat Jinder Mahal at SummerSlam, which Nakamura will probably do. But also, did you see after the show? There was more activity on the WWE Network for $9.99. After the match, Nakamura, you know, Cena holds Nakamura's hand. Nakamura won, so he'll be facing Jinder Mahal at SummerSlam. And Corbin came out and laid out both of them and then got his attitude adjusted right through a table.
Well, that's good.
So Cena will be fighting Corbin at SummerSlam and then probably go to Raw.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay.
Yeah.
So
that one's going to be...
Do you know where that was held?
The Gund Arena.
The Quicken Loans Arena.
It's still gun to me, baby.
So that's where the RNC was, which is where this show started.
Yeah.
So if you go back to in our archives, which are available at youmadeemeverybody.com in the iTunes feed, you can hear Chris and I talk about this minutes after Ted Cruz's heel turn.
Yes.
You
Remember
could
Ted
also,
Cruz?
You can also hear Linda McMahon on this show. And Linda McMahon's son is going to be involved at SummerSlam.
Yes, so Shane McMahon will be the special guest referee, a role he's done many times over the years, in a U.S. title match between Kevin Owens, the face of America, and AJ Styles, the AJ community. And they'll be having a match, and then Shane will... I think it's important to note that October's SmackDown pay-per-view is Hell in a Cell. So whatever issues don't get worked out at SummerSlam, we'll see at Hell in a Cell. So when Kevin Owens has to fight Shane McMahon, it'll probably be in a Hell in a Cell. And I just want to say, like...
That makes a lot of sense. It's going to be great.
Yes, and a lot of people think that the Trump kids do a lot for their father. Like Donnie Jr., he's out here giving in statements that his father wrote, probably going to jail. Ivanka, her clothing company's in the toilet.
Yesterday.
There's another couple kids.
Yesterday, Ivanka and Linda McMahon spent 48 minutes together on stage at the White House. I watched that entire conference. There were two allusions. No, allusions?
Allusions.
Allusions to WWE. Not one mention specifically of wrestling.
Yeah. Because they're not a couple of marks. Like
Trump said, Vince and you built up a great company.
What kind of company?
Exactly. And then at one point she goes, Linda says, we were bankrupt. Our car was repossessed. I was 7 months pregnant with my second child.
Yeah.
Not one mention of what the company did or does
why
you're the head of the SBA.
They're just business people like you and me. But yeah, all the Trump, you know, there's a bunch of Trump kids. They're all doing stuff. None of them are going to go off the Hell in the Cell to win their father's love.
Here's why I'm excited about this. If you care about wrestling at all and you know who Kevin Owens is, you know that he was Kevin Steen and he used to do crazy matches all the time for like 20 people.
Yes.
And the main complaint you'd hear about Kevin Owens was, why are you trying to kill yourself for 20 people?
Right.
And these like at Hell in a Cell, it's adjacent matches. Shane McMahon, not the best in-ring ability, but definitely the most heart. His stuff with Kurt Angle is legendary. His stuff with The Undertaker is legendary. It's amazing. They're both going to try to do something incredibly stupid. These are both fathers.
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just good to see someone out here who gets how that it's all wrestling. And you got it. Sometimes you got to go off the Hell in the Cell to win your father's love. Sometimes wrestling is a lot simpler than that, though. And this doesn't have an analogy to the political stuff.
Are you watching the season of Twin Peaks?
Oh, my God.
Wake
no
up,
more metaphors, to quote Tyler Breeze. No more metaphors. Fashion peaks. the Fashion Police segment that parodied Twin Peaks last night was probably my favorite thing they've done.
Hands down, my favorite thing they've done in 2017. Until they break the
Friendship happened this year, and we're
Wow. Okay, that's number two. This is number one. Yeah. And then when they break the Hardys, that'll probably be number one.
Yes, but for now, just go online. Go to WWE on YouTube. If you're watching Twin Peaks and you're a wrestling fan, I mean, there's like eight of you. Yeah,
we're two of them.
It's a small crossover group, but it is a lot of fun.
We're not going to play any clips from it because it doesn't make sense about the visuals.
No more metaphors. And this is why the show got canceled the first time.
Before we get to our interview with Jim Ross, it's time for plugs for us. This Friday, I'll be hosting You, Me, Them, Everybody at the Wonderland Ballroom in Washington, D.C. For more information on that, go to youmethemeverybody.com. For all 52 of our previous episodes, go to youmethemeverybody.com. It's in the iTunes feed. Our SoundCloud only features our most recent episode and some of our favorites, like the Ted Cruz heel turn, our interview with Linda McMahon, our interview with the progressive liberal. I think that might be it, actually. Yeah. So that's it. And, oh, there's an article interview with Jake the Snake Roberts, which I absolutely love, which involves Marla Maples, WrestleMania 5, and a snake.
Yeah, no, it was a good time. And, yeah, progressive liberal, I'm going to plug that he'll be at Nova Pro Wrestling's Cool for the Summer.
There we go.
On August 18th. So if you're not going to be
in New York to see Jim Ross at the Gotham Comedy Club.
You got two options, people, if you're on the East Coast, and one of them is seeing the progressive liberal at Nova Pro Wrestling.
And this is a great time to plug Chris's article yet again. Go to our Facebook group page and read his article on Vice Sports. If you don't care about UFC, that's fine. If you care about this show in any way, you will enjoy his piece from last year about the New Day and Black Excellence on Vice Sports. Read it while you can. My recent radio appearance is there. I think that's enough for plugs.
I think we're just
trying to show our bona fides at this point. So without further ado, here's a very long conversation with Jim Ross. We do talk a little bit about politics, but it's not really about politics. He gives me the odds on a Rock presidential run, which I did not think he would do.
And so that's reason enough to keep listening.
That's very fun. Next week, I'll have an article with Jim Ross published that I didn't want to include in this. It's all about kind of drug addiction and stuff like that. I don't want to bum anybody out. I don't want to make it too heavy. I just want people to go to his show on August 10th at the DC Improv. This Friday, I'll be at the You, Me, Them, Everybody at the Wonderland Ballroom. The Friday after that, Chris will be hanging out with the Progressive Liberal in...
Annandale. Yeah. I'm not excited about that. But.
Awesome. And without further ado, here is good old JR. What do you think it about you is what puts you over? Because you were one of the few guys that was never a wrestler. Like, you didn't do that. You just called the stuff, and you were the best at it.
Well, thanks for that. I don't know. I think I've always kind of been unpretentious. I never took all the celebrity stuff real seriously. I'm still not totally comfortable with it, quite honestly. I'm a wrestling fan, and unabashedly. And I think that's a good thing, because if you have the courage to stand up and say, I'm a fan of something that maybe not is as popular to the masses as other things might be, that's a pretty good character trait, I think. So, and that's kind of how we created these shows, these ringside shows, because and most people that follow wrestling or have been fans for any length of time, they've been bullied a little bit. They've had some people bullied them a little about, oh, you watch that stuff, you know it's not real, blah, blah, blah. And so when you come to one of our shows, it's kind of like a safe house. Nobody's going to bully you. Nobody's going to make fun of you. We're going to laugh together and enjoy ourselves. And for what has been being the fandom of a crazy genre. So that's kind of how I look at it. You know, I've always been a fan. People can see that. They know I'm not pretentious. I'm just a fat guy from Oklahoma with a southern accent and three bouts of facial paralysis that somehow, some way, has wrangled a 40-plus year career out of it.
You haven't been with the same company for the entire time. Most people move jobs quite often. But you have worked for the biggest and the best for a very, very long amount of time. How does it feel to be back? I realize that's a very vague, open-ended kind of bullshit question. But you called two of the...
All right.
You've called two of the best matches of 2017. I mean, that UK match was probably the best thus far. And you're calling the Mae Young Classic. Those are good things that actual wrestling fans care about more than anything they're going to see on a weekly basis. So do you prefer to be back in this limited role, or do you wish you were on Monday Night Raw every week?
No, I'm very, very pleased with my current situation there at WWE. I like working on special projects, like the UK special that we did, the coming back and calling a match, as you alluded to, at TakeOver Chicago with the two British kids who did a phenomenal job. The Mae Young's coming up on August 28th, starts airing on August 28th, and that was probably one of the more emotional, invested assignments I've had in years and years. But I like my arrangement because it gives me time to do other things, have a balance in my life. But I do enjoy the opportunity to stay busy. You know, since my wife got killed in March, I've tried to go out of my way to stay busier than maybe some people would have recommended. Mm-hmm. But it's been good for me to stay busy and occupied. And because with the death of someone that close, unexpectedly to boot, there's just so much daily maintenance that you can't separate yourself from, whether it's insurance this kid that killed her is getting charged with negligent homicide. So I got that stuff to deal with. So the busier I can stay in a vocation I love and around fans that have been so loyal to me for 40 years, that's a good thing for me. Just psychologically, I think I'm doing the right thing, and at least it feels right, and that's why these shows are so important. It's not just about the payday. You know, it's not about the money. That's bullshit. And when people say nothing's about the money, it's really all about the money. But I can tell you that I enjoy the meet and greets. I enjoy getting on stage. I enjoy telling my stories. I enjoy fielding their questions in an entertaining, hopefully, and respectful way. So all that stuff is really good for me on a lot of fronts. So it's not just about the payday. It's about interacting and feeling that rush of being a live performer again. That takes me back to Raw, because that's what we did every Monday night. It was no net, you know, you're live, so go give it your best shot and see what sticks on the wall. I don't want to do that anymore. I've done that. I don't think a lot of folks that don't travel every week have the slightest idea how challenging travel is. It's a pain in the ass. It's a pain in the ass because you're rarely on time. There seems to be a high stress level with the airline. The TSA guys are what they are. They're doing their job. So I don't know. I like the special occasion work, special projects work, and look forward to any future assignments along those lines. But unless I was needed to be a fill-in, I told somebody the other day, I feel like Ricky Vaughn, the Charlie Sheen's character in Major League. I want to be Wild Thing. I want to be in the bullpen, and I want a great entrance with all this piss and vinegar and pomp and circumstance when I'm needed to come in and get three outs in the bottom of the ninth. That would be a good role for me at this stage of the game. I can still throw strikes, by the way. I can still get people out if necessary. But I don't want to do it every week if I don't have to. Plus, football season's getting close, and I carve out a lot of time for football season to be a super fan if possible.
Somewhat of an aside to wrestling, but not completely unrelated, is football. You're the biggest Sooners fan on the globe. What do you think about the CTE stuff? Was it last week it came out 110 out of 111 athletes that had the brain work done after their passing? It showed that they had CTE. How does that affect how you watch the game?
Probably not as much as it should. I'm not totally shocked. You know, I was on the team that hired Chris Nowinski, mm-hmm. Who's involved in a lot of that stuff. He was our Harvard guy, as many fans remember. So we hired him when I was in charge of talent relations there at WWE. Really nice kid, but he was the victim of his own issues now. He He had concussion issues, and that cut his career short. I think he would have had a real good career in WWE. But it's scary. Obviously, it's got to be addressed. I think the NFL has done a poor job of trying to cover it up and back burner it and not make it a focal point. So there's much more news to come, you got to believe. And there's going to be, you know, Ben Roethlisberger saying he's seriously considering when he's going to step away. And a lot of guys, we're going to see a lot of changes made. People are not going to risk their health to run for another payday. I don't. And some are, obviously, some are because they feel like they have no options. The others that have made some money or believe they have other options are going to be taken out. It's not going to, and people are going to have a hard time understanding because a lot of us laymen don't, you know, we'd give our left testicle to be able to play in the NFL and have a successful career, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, you got to really evaluate all that stuff. And I can't say it affects me watching the game. I'm still going to watch, but I'm going to pay more attention to injuries, and I'm going to read more about the concussion CTE issues. You got to believe there's going to be changes in equipment that some people are going to probably find to be a little bit silly looking because the helmets are going to probably take a different shape a little bit. But I don't know. It hasn't. I don't have any. I got two granddaughters and two daughters. So I've never had to be involved in this. You know, well, should little Johnny play football or not? You know, as I sit here, I probably would say, well, you know, you got to let him be a kid type thing. And I don't know if that's the right advice. So it's a serious issue, without a doubt. But there's so much money invested in the game of football, collegiately and professionally. It's not going to change. The game's not going away. It's going to have to be addressed and tweaked, but the game is not going away. There's too much money on the table. And, again, you come back to when it's not about the money, it's generally all about the money.
Which is a great segue to McGregor-Mayweather, which you recently talked about on a Ross report two episodes ago. It's wrestling. It's blatantly wrestling. Do you think everyone is starting to understand that it's wrestling, or do you think that it's still... people that actually want to see a contest between two men that are not equally matched in any way whatsoever?
Oh, I think that the McGregor-Mayweather attraction is a license to print money. They're going to make so much money on this, and the irony of it is the more, as I think it was Shakespeare said, he doth protest too loudly. Mm-hmm. Those that protest too loudly about not watching that sideshow, blah, 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 or, you know, they're trying to stroke their own ego because it's going to be a huge profit center. I mean, I do believe that there'll be more maybe communal viewing at $100 a pop. You know, you get four or five of your buddies together and one guy brings a beer, one guy brings the burgers or whatever the case may be, and you all kick in on the pay-per-view or however that's worked out. But I think there'll be more communal viewing of this event because of the price tag, but it's an attraction. You know, it's like Andre the Giant coming into the territory days, into a town in the territory days, in his annual booking, and they had the annual battle royal with Andre the Giant in it. It was the same thing. It's the same concept. It's an attraction. It's not an athletic, scientific, you know. You know, all fundamentally sound sporting event. You got one guy that's never had a professional boxing event in his life, fighting arguably the greatest boxer of the modern era. And the guy he's 49-0 is Mayweather. He's tied with Marciano for the greatest record in professional boxing history. And he's got a chance to break that record and win his 50th fight. So, it's got all the stories, all the backstories. I thought that the press conference they had was a little bit of low road and a little bit of lack of planning. It kind of told me that the inmates are definitely running the asylum because there's very little direction or maturity or professionalism in how those press conferences came off. It was just dropping F-bombs and homophobic slurs and some racial innuendo, and I thought it was definitely the low road. And I'm so, kind of surprised that the powers that be evidently condoned it, because I never heard any. I don't know who the final voice would be, if it's Viacom or I don't know who owns Showtime. Showtime's got the gig. Showtime's going to promote the pay-per-view. But, you know, it felt like it was an episode of Ray Donovan at a press conference and not a, you know, I love the angst and creating the friction and the conflict, but I just thought they took the most disadvantageous route to get there to accomplish that in those press conferences. But make no mistake about it, it'll be an attraction that's going to make a lot of money that many of us are going to watch. I'm going to definitely watch it. You couldn't dynamite me away from that TV on that one. So, but I was watching UFC this weekend as well. So, I enjoy the UFC. I enjoy attractions. I enjoy the spectacle, the pageantry, and this fight's going to have a whole lot more sizzle than steak. But maybe there's a little exchange there. We're going to take whatever we get in the fight as far as athletic exchanges are concerned. But it should be fun to watch, and one that I think will kickstart and make a lot of money. I think it's going to be a nice. I think it's going to create a nice entree to what I believe will be a John Jones Brock Lesnar fight, probably in 2018. Same basic thing. Both of them are UFC fighters, but the weight differential, the catch weight thing, and the sizzle of the Lesnar John Jones. It's going to follow the same. They're not going to make the money, obviously, that Mayweather and McGregor are going to. But for USC, in need of a main event attraction to sell pay-per-views, Lesnar and Bones Jones is certainly that's there. So, but I'm I like this kind of thing. And hey, look, the boxing purists think it's, you know, the drizzling shits, because you've got, you know, you'd be smirching the hallowed name of boxing, which is an eye roller at the beginning. Yeah, that's ridiculous. That's the same thing as them making fun of wrestling. You got to be kidding me. That's the pot calling the kettle black here, fellas. So at least wrestling admits that they're showbiz and that it is an entertainment spectacle, and that pro wrestling is and should be mindless television. But they look at boxing like it's, you know, something that was born in the Olympics and is so pure and wholesome and has always been that way, and it's dirtier than hell. So I find it really a unique who all think that the grown-up table for that event is really some strange pairings, to say the least. It's not, you're not sitting at this grown-up table, boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, girl. You're sitting there with, you know, hustler, a crook, hustler, cook, boxer, hustler, cook, whatever. It's going to be quite the ride before fight time, without a doubt.
My favorite part of this whole thing has literally nothing to do with going on in the ring and everything to do with who's going to be at the announcer's table. Because it's Showtime, Mauro Ranallo is calling that fight, and he's back at NXT. I absolutely adore Mauro. I think a lot of wrestling fans agree. He's the best. But he doesn't really fit the WWE mold. Why do you think Mauro's first run wasn't as good as it could have been? Because that was the thing I was excited most about for this year's WrestleMania, until it didn't happen. I wanted to see Mauro call things on the biggest stage of them all. Now he's back. How do you think this is going to shake out?
Well, he's got a better assignment now for his personality and his approach to the game, I believe. I think the NXT gig is much better for him, because Mauro, from what I was told, and I wasn't there, so it's only what guys said, and that Mauro was being was challenged to do all the traffic that is necessary on those Raws and SmackDowns, so that the lead play-by-play guy really is just he's the lead announcer. I don't know how much lead play-by-play is done. There's more storytelling. It's a different presentation than fits Mauro's best skill set, and probably mine too, for that matter. But I just think it probably was there was, along with that gig of SmackDown, was a lot of things added to what that role necessitates. and I don't know that he was totally comfortable with it. Marlo's a play-by-play guy. That's why at these big fights for Showtime, they got a host. They got a traffic guy. Mm-hmm. They send it down to ringside and they call the fight. And he didn't have that luxury on SmackDown. So he has essentially that in NXT, where he can just go out and call the matches, get the talent over, tell a story of what we're seeing, and move on about his business. So it's just a better assignment for him. I saw him when I was in Orlando taping the Mae Young Classic, and he taped on Wednesday night there, and I taped on Thursday and Friday. But I went by there Wednesday after some meetings to say hello to everybody, including him. And you know, he seemed to be engaged and happy. He looked tired because he's very busy and he's got a lot of assignments where he's crisscrossing. I think he came from L.A. on a red eye to Orlando, and you know, anytime you take a red eye to work, I don't give a damn what you're doing. It's not advantageous.
Sure, sure.
And it's not. It's just not. So I hope he does great there. You know, I'm a fan of his work. I think he's in a spot that he will embrace over time. And you know, my only concern about Morrow is the same as it's always been. And I'm assuming his friends, and I know a lot of his friends, feel the same way. Can he budget all of his gigs and maintain quality in his health? Because the two things he doesn't want to do is he didn't want to take any risk with your health, and he certainly wants to maintain the quality of work that he's established. So, but I got all the time to work with Marlo. He's a good dude, and I think he's in a good spot. He's going to get a lot of exposure there, and you know, it's just how much can he put on his plate in a high pressure scenario. And at some point, one would look at it in a common sense perspective and say, "Well, that's somewhere down the road, you got to. Let's put it this way: you've always got to continue to develop and evaluate how much is on your plate. Mm-hmm. All of us, whoever's reading, listening, talking, whatever, we all got the same thing. I do it regularly." You know, it's like having a good financial planner and having quarterly meetings and where are we on the portfolio. You got to continue to evaluate things in a changing marketplace. And I just believe that all of us in a high profile roles, what we do on television or broadcasting or my podcast, wherever it may be, you know, how much do you allow to stay on your plate? And that's kind of how I look at that deal. So, and Morrow's a warrior. I mean, he's not the kind of guy that's going to walk away from gigs, because as we find out that right now, for a lot of guys in Morrow's role, in my role, we're making more money than we made in working part time than we made, you know, in forever. I know I've made more money in a week broadcasting than my favorite NWA champions made in a week. So it's like crazy money that you hate to not. Go take it. Go pick up your check. But you still got to go do the work, and at some time you got to evaluate: is the payday worth all the everything I'm going through? So, but I think he's made the right call. I think it's a good fit for him. The schedule's less travel of burden. He's not on the road every week, and he found out. You know, he's the same boat that I have avoided. I'm not interested in doing anybody's TV show every week. I don't care who it is. I'm just not, and that sounds egocentric, and as far as it's the farthest thing from it, I just don't want to bite off more than I can handle, and I have other things in my life that I've got to attend to that I don't have any choice over.
Sure.
I don't have anybody else here to handle my wife's estate or these legal issues and insurance issues. And, you know, all these other crazy things. You know, when you get a hospital bill for $400,000 for 4 days in the hospital, you got to pay attention. And even though we have insurance and all that stuff, it's still a massive gut-wrenching deal. So we just have to make better choices, and hopefully Mara will key thing for tomorrow. Just don't get too much on your plate, and don't get wore down, because he's too damn talented not to be in the game.
You mentioned your recently passed wife, Jan, and when Linda McMahon was named head of the SBA in December, you said that Jan was Linda's biggest fan. And you also mentioned in the same post that you don't get overtly political in anything that you do. And I'm not asking you to get overtly political, but is there any insight that you could tell us about Linda McMahon that the common person doesn't know? You worked with her for 20 plus years, and she's part of the Trump administration, and we don't hear a lot from her, which means I think it's going pretty well.
I think I agree with you. I think it's going well also. Linda is a true Southern Belle. She was raised with both her mom and dad in the household. I say that because, as we all know, unfortunately, that's not always the case nowadays. In a single mother, single parent homes, et cetera, et cetera. So she was a recipient of a great upbringing in North Carolina. I can tell you that she was probably one of the first women in the state of North Carolina to shoot it successfully and regularly use a jump shot at a girls' basketball. She was a real good athlete, and she shot a... And then women in that era were shooting set shots, and Linda was mastering the art of shooting a jump shot. So I'd say Linda McMahon shooting a jump shot is probably something a lot of people don't know. She was also... WWE had at one time a really good softball team, of which she was one of the star players. So she's really a good athlete.
Hold on a second. Who else was on that softball team? I've never heard about the WWE softball team.
It was before my time. I don't know.
Okay, I apologize.
I don't have any idea. I just know that they had a team that played in an industrial league, and they were very competitive. Very competitive. And she was one of the star players of that team. So she was a very good athlete. But she was just... Linda was always thought she was one of her great skills, that she's a terrific listener, and you know, just I never had a cross word with her, and I had plenty of opportunities for us to have consternation because of the high pressure, high profile roles that we both had there, but. I was around her a lot. You know, Vince and I worked at his house almost every Saturday for years until we come up with a better system, at which time she thanked me for that system, and she said she got her husband back on the weekends, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
So she's a Southern Belle that's got a jump shot, and her word is good, and she's is a caring, compassionate human being, and certainly... I don't know how she's going to fit into the political landscape because she's far from being a professional politician. But I do believe that she had a great desire to be a public servant and give back. And I think we hear that so little, so infrequently, and from people that don't mean it whatsoever, that we're leery when we hear that. I just want to give back. I just want to be a public servant. Because public servant, most often in today's vernacular, public servant is a code word for I'm a professional politician. And I can't think of too many things that are not jailable offenses that are worse than being a professional politician.
Kane, professional wrestler, is currently running... Glenn Jacobs is currently running for Knox County Mayor. You're not outwardly supporting him, but you're not supporting him. You're sharing his stuff on Twitter. He's clearly a friend of yours. Do you think it's a smart move to leave professional wrestling to go into government?
Well, I think it's an individual decision. It might not be the right thing for everybody. I do believe it's the right thing for Glenn Jacobs. He's a very introspective guy, very, very intelligent. I never hired anybody, recruited anybody that's more reliable, trustworthy, honest than Glenn Jacobs. So, I don't know what all the duties of being the mayor of Knox County entails. All I know is that if the people of that area have a candidate that's infinitely better than Glenn Jacobs, by all means, they should get that person in office. Because I know what kind of person Glenn Jacobs is. He's a star. He's a star in life, and great values, character, integrity, really. I mean, it sounds like I'm campaigning for him. I don't live there, but boy, if I did, there would be no issue about who I'd vote for. He's just a really good human being, and I hope that I hope he makes it and he gets elected, because that's what he's wanted to do. He's got this goal to do better. Look, I can promise you, he doesn't need the money. Mm-hmm. He's made lots and lots of money, lots of money. And unlike some of his peers, he's retained most of it. So he's doing this because he truly believes in his heart it's the right thing to do. So I think in this case, it's a smart move. And I hope he gets elected, because I'm anxious to see how he would handle things. And I just think he'd be great public servant without a doubt.
A few months ago, you joked with the AV Club. Maybe it wasn't a joke. I don't know. About the only way The Rock returns to the ring is if he needs a one last connection to the WWE universe before he runs for president. 1 to 10, how likely do you think it is that Dwayne The Rock Johnson runs for office?
Oh, probably a 5.
Okay.
I think it's a moderate conversation. You know, if he gets in his, if Dwayne gets in his head, that's what he wants to do. Then it'll be he'll be hell bent on putting together the best plan that he can, and the success or lack thereof of this administration can be a big benefit down the road for Rock, because at least a non-politico was elected president of the United States. But I can obviously tell you that. You just look at the likability factor. Give the listener what you're saying, and your message, and your image, and how you communicate globally. Dwayne's a very provocative potential candidate, without question. But I think it's probably right now about a 5. You know, he's got so many amazing things going on in his life, and it's $7 production, and he seems like he's done something. Premiering or debuting every damn month, so I don't know what his timeline is, but he's talking about it too much for it not to be on his radar. So when would that be? I couldn't see it being any quicker than 8 years.
Sure.
But maybe I'm wrong, but I think in 8 years time, he'll be at an age where he might have everything under control to where he wants to try to do this and be that great public servant. And let me tell you, don't count him out of any arena, whether it be politics or a wrestling arena or a film. Just don't, because that's just a foolish thing to do. He told me the first week that I hired him that I'm going to be your, his quote was, I'm going to be your top guy. So, and I looked at him somewhat incredulously, like, we've got some pretty good guys already there, but that's why we hired you to be a top guy. And, he's made it clear. No, I understand. I'm going to be the top guy. Hey, then get after it. Let's go. So, and he became the top guy and beyond. So I just don't count him out, fellas, really. I mean, it may sound silly and it may sound insane, but let's take a look at things. How have the professional politicians done here in this country in the last several terms? It's not been so auspicious. You know, it's not something that we're going to rewrite history books that all these politicians from in the 2000s and forward are really phenomenal. They balanced our checkbook. They kept us out of major spending, war, this, that, and the other. No, it ain't been great. So I'm not going to tell you he can't do the job, because that would be... that would be insane. Just don't count him out. And I think right now he's a 5, and in 8 years, he'll know more about it.
Last March, March 2016, for Fox Sports, you wrote how Donald Trump's WWE character shaped his political persona. I clearly agree with you 100%. Is there anything that's happened since January 20th that is straight out of the WWE playbook? Hell, we can go old school. We can go NWA playbook. Just any pro wrestling playbook.
Well, you know, giving guys their notice, you know, underscoring a parting of the way. That's no wrestling promoter thing. You know, they called it loser leave town. You know, Trump had some guys he fired like he would on The Apprentice, only they didn't have a loser leave town stipulation. They didn't have a chance to resurrect themselves. They were just out the door. And that's the mark of a Mr. McMahon type, you know, bombastic leader. But the other thing I noticed just not too long ago was, and maybe part of it's because of his undefinable hair, is that he was wearing his cap modern styled after Stone Cold Steve Austin. Just the other day, his red ball cap, his trucker cap, and you know I just believe that he saw how Austin related to everybody in the arena. He saw that there was a way to an attire that reached out and connected with the masses of blue collars, and simply put, as a baseball cap or a ball cap, you could all the working guys, the truck drivers, the maintenance guys, the guys that work outside. I had guys here this morning working on my yard, and both of them were wearing ball caps. It's just what they do. It's just what it is. So Trump has got these high-dollar custom-made suits, obviously, and a ball cap. Well, the ball cap's there to say, hey, I'm one of you. I'm a blue-collar guy. I'm not a politician. I'm cleaning the swamp, blah, 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 whatever the hell it is. So I just think that he saw that he's smart enough, observed enough, and he was in the arena to feel the power of Stone Cold Steve Austin's popularity. And Austin built that on being a blue-collar, common guy, anti-establishment. And Austin in the Attitude Era was trying to drain the swamp of the evil McMahon in WWE. So it's the same basic theory. It's the anti-establishment good guy who identifies with all the with the working collar, working class folks, and that's what Trump tried to connect with. That's hard to do when you're born a rich guy and you're born of privilege and you look like, you know, you haven't done a manual day's worth of work in your life. You got to do things that's going to make you appeal to those folks and appear to be a common dude. And wearing a ball cap, and he noticed on another campaign trail, it's one of the first times you ever saw Donald Trump without a tie on. So now he's dressing down, he's taking the tie off, he's wearing a ball cap. To me, it's just, he took that page right out of the Attitude Era of WWE, and obviously, to some degree, fellas, it worked.
You know, clearly worked. He's the most powerful man in the universe. During the Battle of the Billionaires, though, it's interesting because it's the exact opposite backstory in reality. Vince did not grow up a rich kid. Trump did grow up a rich kid. One should have been the heel and one should have been the face, but it was the exact opposite. That being said, what do you see in the leader of the free world that you saw in Vince, either in storyline or in reality?
Well, gosh, that's hard to say because you're talking apples and oranges. You know, you're talking two different...
Well, then let's go with in real life, because we all know the storyline. We've all seen that. That's fine. We know the characters. You actually worked with the man. I never have. How is Vince like the Donald?
Well, there'll never be any gray area as to who the leader is. There's no gray area in a meeting who the alpha male in the room is. One of the great things of working for Vince, for me, after working with so many wrestling people, was that you had one boss that would give you an answer. And that was always refreshing, because that was never the case. It was for Bill Watts. There was one alpha male in that company, and he was the boss, and there was no gray area. But after the Bill Watts run for me,
then the who's in charge and what's the right answer and what's the final answer and et cetera, got to be few and far between until I went to work for Vince. And then there was no doubt who the boss was. So I think it's some of the similar stuff. You know, Trump makes sure on camera he's the alpha male. He's being down, obviously he is being downloaded and prompted, but he doesn't show that. We don't see that. So I think there's, you know, I don't know that Trump has Vince's work ethic. You know, that nobody, no person I've ever known has McMahon's work ethic and his, you know, just attention to the company is always the first thing on his mind. And so I don't know how Trump feels about that. But I guess, you know, I don't really know how to answer the question. It's just McMahon is the alpha male, Trump's the alpha male. But I don't know that Donald has Vince's work ethic.
Sure.
And I think a lot of that comes with Vince's hard scrabble background and growing up, his North Carolina upraising, living in a mobile home, having multiple stepfathers. You know, Trump didn't have anything like that on his agenda. So, to be honest with you, McMahon probably is better suited to be the president of the United States than Donald Trump. That's just not how it worked out. And, of course, Vince didn't want to take a cut in pay.
let's kind of get off of this and go to NWA. So your friend Billy Corgan is now the owner of the NWA, and wrestling fans are completely confused of why he decided to buy the NWA in 2017. Can you shed any light on why this happened?
Not a damn bit. I can't. No, I don't know why you would buy it. I don't know what are you buying? You're not buying Lou Thesz's 1937 run. You're not buying the Funks, the Briscoe, you know, Flair, Harley, Kaninsky. You're not buying any of that. None of that. You're buying three letters. That could also be the name of a rap group. So the issue is that it's got to be somehow or another resurrected as an indie brand with a somewhat familiar three letters.
Okay.
Billy's a friend of mine, has been for years, and I have a lot of time for Billy. So I say that because I know Billy's got a plan. I don't know what it is, but I know that he's not going to go into any financial arrangement without a game plan. So it'll be interesting to see what the game plan is. I'm sure that he's probably going to try to produce a television show. It's not a challenge or impossible to produce a television show. What it is producing a television show that can have a pulse and people can find and watch and hopefully subsequently enjoy. So I don't know where he's headed with it. I don't know. It's a hair scratcher to me what he bought. What the hell did you buy? He didn't buy a library. He didn't buy an existing asset that I'm aware of. The Paul Bosch Library is not included, for example. So I'm not sure what he bought, and I'm not so. But there, I'm also not sure why he bought it, other than knowing Billy as I do, he has a plan, and at some point in time, when he's ready, we'll all see what that plan is. But it's a head scratcher at this moment.
What do you think is more likely? CM Punk returns to WWE, or CM Punk is the foundation for whatever Billy Corgan chooses to do with the NWA?
You know, I haven't talked to CM Punk other than I think when my wife got killed, he texted me. Pretty sure he did. So we haven't really sat down. I don't know if there's anything that would convince him to want to retrace his steps and go back into wrestling.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know if there's anything, including Billy's Chicago NWA thing. Now, look, obviously, if I were Billy and I could get CM Punk to to spread his wings again on my new brand, then that'd be great for Billy, because that's instant credibility. He'd also have a guy that would be a great creative mind behind the scenes if he chose to do it. I just don't know that Punk is even interested in getting back in the wrestling business. I would only say that if I were CM Punk and I wanted to get back in the wrestling business, and again, that's a big if, because I have no idea if he's even remotely interested, that I would exhaust all I would exhaust all communication with WWE before I shut the door on them, because that's a place you can go back into the fastest, the highest level, make the most money in the shortest length of time, recreate your brand, all those things, and that plan there. But I don't know that he has that desire. Again, I haven't talked to him. I just don't know where his head is. But obviously, it'd be a big gift for Billy if it's even on the table. But I got to believe if wrestling is in the future a CM Punk, that he's smart enough to make sure that he exhausted all the avenues to return to WWE before he ruled them out.